This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm Adam Scalina, your sometimes host. And Corey, excellent episode today. We've got Rain City Industrial on the show.
Yeah, we have great. We have the two owners from Rain City Industrial. We have Andrew Laurie and Brett Jeffrey, owners of the company. We dive into their business model, which a lot of people may or may not know that the industrial asset class is just, it's a very broad brush you can paint it with.
Yes.
We go into like cold storage. We talk about manufacturing.
Food processing.
There's so many specialty markets within that industrial market. It's great to have them on and dive in and to really hear about how their business has expanded and grown, especially in markets like the cold storage, which a lot of our listeners may or may not be aware of what that is.
Right.
They can unpack it. They specialize in it. They have a great business because of it. Really interesting. And also to get their insight on the market, because they're at the front of the market there. They're dealing with a lot of these end users. They're dealing with them very early on in the process. So they get to kind of help understand how that market is reacting, not just in BC, but also other provinces that they're working in. So great insight. As always, another great episode.
Yeah, really, really cool story. We talk about not only their background, so Andrew and Brett's background, but how they started the company, areas of interest, how they're seeing the market unfold in both industrial, but also the commercial market in general.
Absolutely.
Where they see kind of the riches in the niches. And of course, what their predictions are for the market moving forward,
yeah,
both for industrial and the market in general and the economy. So this is a really interesting conversation. But yeah, without further ado, Corey, why don't we jump into this chat with Andrew Laurie and Brett Jeffrey.
Enjoy, guys. This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial. John, Al, and the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
All right, we're here today with Andrew Laurie and Brett Jeffries, owners of Rain City Industrial. Guys, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. Happy to be here.
So before we kind of dive into this exciting episode here, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourselves, Rain City Industrial, and how you guys sort of got into real estate?
Rain City Industrial started about 6 years ago. It was an idea of bringing a dedicated design build service to the industrial sector, really focusing on the difference between the industrial world and then the office and commercial world. We thought there was an opportunity within that market to create something that was unique. And really, we focused on the different sectors in the industrial world, from food and beverage, manufacturing, logistics and distribution, health sciences, all very unique, all having their own specific challenges with typically in their warehouse and in their production facilities. So our company is a lot different than most general contractors and significantly different than any other TI companies, where we have in-house expertise focusing on the unique challenges that these industrial markets innately have. To do that, we have our Rain City Industrial company, but we also have a number of specialized branches underneath that oversee our cold storage division, racking and warehousing solutions, as well as demolition.
I'm just curious what both of your backgrounds are and how you were able to actually recognize the gap in the market.
Yeah, I'll go first because Andrew's very specialized. My background is in sales and marketing. I started up in the building construction world, working for Sauter for many, many years. I then moved into a position of leadership in a office tenant improvement role. And that's where I was exposed to meeting Andrew, actually, but also exposed to the real estate community and their requirements for design build professionals to service their clients. So that's where my exposure came in. When I brought Andrew in, recognizing how important the real estate community is, it was a natural for me as friends, but also as someone that I quite respect in the market to come and join me and help me focus on the real estate world. Yeah. Andrew, you want to
My background, it basically starts as a research analyst at Cushman & Wakefield in 2006 and just worked my way into the broker role. And I was a broker at Cushman & Wakefield and JLL for a total of 16 years. And then from there, I went on to work at a major developer and oversaw a large portion of the leasing for their Canadian portfolio. And that took me through COVID. And when Brett was starting the company, I was just leaving brokers to go to the developer. And he had asked me if I was interested in starting this company with him. And to be candid, I said I had no interest in getting involved in a startup construction company at that point in time. Where I was in my life, I just sort of gave up commission sales for a stable paycheck. But a couple of years into it and working through COVID and sort of working for someone else, I realized that I have an entrepreneurial spirit, and the opportunity represented itself to join the ownership group with Brett. And I took it, and we've been off and running ever since.
Okay, for some of our listeners, can you... Like the idea of design build, can you explain what that is, and then also explain why you decided to approach the business from a design build perspective?
One of the key things, other than being friends with Brett and trusting Brett, one of the key things that really attracted me to the business was something that I learned in my first days of brokerage that I'm sure, Corey, you can attest to, is specialization and having to specialize in something to be good at something. And for Brett to have come up with sort of the concept of specializing in industrial construction, that really resonated with me, because I think that's the most important differentiator from ourselves and our competitive set, is our ability to specialize in one thing and have the discipline to say no to things that we're not good at.
As far as the design build decision, that design build is a very, very popular construction methodology that you see today. What it does is it puts the accountability and the interaction between the end user and the actual person that's going to build it to be accountable for the design. The old way to do stuff was that you would hire the architect and engineers first, and then you would send those drawings out. You get multiple bids from construction companies based on those drawings. There is no accountability as far as the quality of the drawings, the integration, the collaboration between the different divisions. And so essentially, the clients are finding that it wasn't very collaborative. Even though the architects and the engineers were engaged, they weren't the ones that were building it. So the construction methodology of how it was going to be built was being lost. There's a lot of disappointed people in the actual outcome or the costs, schedules. So design build allows you to take accountability right up front. So when we in our business sit down with the client, we go through their entire facility, their entire operations. We go from their office we start with their base building. Are the utilities, is it set up properly? We go to the office, we go to the warehouse, we go to their equipment, especially requirements like cold storage, we go to their racking. So when we do design build, we're designing the entire industrial facility. What's unique about us is that in-house, under our umbrella and under our roof, we have specialty divisions that are experts in a cold storage or a freezer. They understand the industry of food processing. Another big one for us is our racking division. Racking drives the industrial world in many logistics. Most logistics and distribution facilities, and it's in pretty much every industry that we touch in the industrial world. So for us, when we do a design build facility or design build proposal, it is everything from when we assess the site with the real estate professionals. We go there with them. We understand what the facility is, the challenges or the benefits that it does have. Is it suitable? And then once that transaction is done, we then start working through them through their entire operation, understanding how they work, what they need.
One of the things that I think has been an important separator or differentiator from ourselves is working with the real estate partners and their clients up front. I know real estate. They spec their time and resources in the hopes that a deal will get done. And as a construction company with a lot of resources in-house, we are also fully prepared to spec our time and resources to invest in learning about their clients' operations, and thus putting us in a position to be successful when it comes to understanding what their design and budget needs to look like. So we put skin in the game right along with the real estate partners and other clients, and are more than prepared to spend some time and resources to get a foot in the door.
And where exactly are you building? Are you building mostly in the Lower Mainland, or can you talk about the areas like geographically you're focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, we started the concept initially started as a Fraser Valley-based company being in Fraser Valley, but that quickly outgrew it. And so Metro Vancouver started to become our bread and butter, working in all different municipalities all over Metro Vancouver into the Okanagan interior. And we have then gone on to complete jobs in Edmonton and Calgary and Toronto. And we're currently working on another one in Quebec, which is a market we've not been in before, but it's a past client that asked us to work on this facility in Quebec. So we're learning some of the challenges in working in Quebec, but it's all moving in the right direction.
That's what's unique about us is the fact that it is so specialized that once you do a manufacturing facility here, it's all transferable across the country, right? We don't start over again. They don't have to start over again with another general contractor trying to explain to them how they do their process. So our aspirations are to be coast to coast, but what's happening now is that our clients are driving us to areas. So we're not actively marketing in Quebec, in Toronto yet, but we're working across the country, coast to coast, because our clients are dragging us through there. And we're quite fortunate to be exposed to some pretty good clients that have got distribution centers in every major market.
It should be noted, though, because of the demand for Ontario, we do have boots on the ground in Ontario.
So here's my question for you guys. Obviously, you guys are on the forefront here on the industrial side of it. You're dealing with the clients from day one. You've got a great relationship that ties into the brokerage community. How are you guys seeing the industrial market itself? And I'll go question B on that. Which markets are you seeing maybe more activity across the country now that you guys have various projects going on in different provinces and boots on the ground in Ontario? Where are you seeing maybe more activity versus less? And just get your overall thoughts on the market up front.
From a market standpoint, we're definitely seeing some challenges in the industrial market. Coming out of COVID, industrial was sort of the bell of the ball, and there was all sorts of groups restructuring how they did things, supply chain, and everything else. So that really led to a big drive in demand and a decrease in vacancy, especially in Metro Vancouver. We've seen that vacancy rate, I guess, quadruple over the last 2 years, going from, I guess, a 0.7% to maybe around 4% now. So that's four times as much space in the market now than has been there, as well as absorption rates are going down as well. So there is that little lull in the market right now. It was quite slow through summer, but as we've moved into September and are pushing into October, there's a lot of optimism from the different people that we're speaking with around, you know, some of that pent-up demand starting to make some decisions. And that's obviously with a gluttony of space in compared to recent years, I think that's going to bode well for our market and our economy as people get back to making decisions. We deal with a lot of the strata users as well. The challenge with strata is a lot of our smaller businesses that are investing in strata. So their day one strategy after they close isn't necessarily putting a lot of money into TIs. It's to just get open and up and running. So that's where our racking division serves very well. We can forego doing fancy offices. And I think where a lot of our success is driven is our ability to understand the client, how they use their space, and drive as much efficiency as possible through the racking expertise that we do have in-house. And so where are we seeing growth right now? Well, we are a little bit slower on industrial peer demand because there's not as many tenants doing as many things. But our racking division has really found its stride and is exceeding our expectations right now, just because of people's requirements to get more efficient in their space and our expertise and having the understanding and the ability to help them do that.
I would echo that as well. And then I would also sort of spin into, because of we're a specialty industrial TI company, what's indicative of the market is not necessarily what's happening with us. We're quite busy with the food processing because that's what we do. Andrew's point on the distribution logistics, because we have those specialty divisions, we're getting a lot of that. So that's what's sort of driving our internal business as far as the market goes. I think Andrew covered that pretty well. That should give you a little insight into what Rain City really has seen in the last couple of years is warehouse distribution and food processing has driven our business.
So now when you talk about, and maybe our listeners may not be as aware, and the industrial asset class umbrella, there's various facets of that. And things that you've mentioned is food processing, manufacturing, and like cold storage. Do you guys find by maybe keying in on those sort of sub markets of the industrial market, that's been kind of a key to success, because that's a market that's growing and that there's greater demand for now than we've ever had before?
Absolutely. And for us, we are the only company, construction company in BC that has their own cold storage division. So what typically had been, you know, a general contractor hiring a specialist or hiring a trade, now we actually bring that in-house. And on top of that, when you do a cold storage facility, everything surrounds efficiencies and distribution. So even if it's a freezer or temperature controlled area or an ambient area, it's all starting with how you distribute your product. So racking is massive. And so for a company like yourself who has racking that has the capacity to do the cold storage around that, it really separates us from most other companies. That's our expertise. What other guys are general contractors? We are specialized in that. And so to your point earlier, the specialization has really driven our business.
With the cost of real estate being what it is, efficiency is the driving factor behind all our design. Understanding how we can get the most pallet positions out of our client's space and then designing all the specialty construction around that has been something that we've been able to really trigger in on or key in on with our clients. And I think that has reflected in a lot of the business that we're doing.
And just for our listeners that maybe don't fully understand cold storage or food processing, was this an underserviced market or is it a growing market? Like, can you talk about exactly what's happening in that sub-segment of the industrial market?
Well, it was an absolute growing market during COVID. You have to remember during COVID, all of these Skip the Dishes and HelloFreshes, and they really expanded because of the conditions. So with that, we saw a massive increase in food prep businesses, a massive increase in distribution for groceries and cold storage and freezers. So that's what really drove it. Now that we're coming out of the COVID era, it's just a market that is not going to go away. It's essentially recession-proof, right? When the times are good, people are eating. The times are bad, people are staying home and cooking for themselves. So it's been a great market for us. But the challenge for most is that it is quite complicated. It is different than putting up a concrete tilt facility and putting an office in a washroom. There is a lot more to that. And you have to be set up in your business for that. Your staff have to be engineers and process engineers and understand how to do that versus the construction people. We have both, but our blueprint is a little bit different, as we have industry specialists versus construction generalists. And so, yeah, I would say those are the markets that have really driven our success and have separated us from the general contractors, and they continue to grow and we get exposed to more and more markets. So they're driven our expansion, and it's something we're absolutely committed to.
You guys mentioned too that you're doing work in Alberta, and why I sort of key in on that province is it feels like we're seeing a lot of, whether it be end users or even investors for that matter in the industrial markets, are looking more and more into the Alberta market versus the BC market. Obviously the pricing here is still, you know, extremely high to make it work. Are you guys seeing more interest for your services in that market now that things seem like Alberta's on an upswing, or is that a market that you've always sort of had a pretty high demand for?
I'm going to jump in on that really quickly. That was a trend that we did definitely see and sort of continued to see, is groups evaluating sort of the cost to do business in Alberta and ship to Vancouver or Metro Vancouver versus actually having a hub here. You know, I'm not in the market day to day talking to or, you know, living this, but in a lot of the conversations I've had recently, I've sort of keyed in on that. NAS is Alberta still attracting a lot of that business away from BC? And that doesn't seem to be as a consistent of a trend as maybe we saw sort of 12 to 24 months ago. And I think that's just because of the limited amount of demand that's happening right now in BC from groups or groups across Canada. Like, there's just the demand's not there. People are kind of sitting on the sidelines and waiting to see. But that certainly has driven work that we have done in Alberta in the past. I think there is going to start to be a little bit of downward pressure on rental rates and sort of some compression in regards to landlords' expectations for rental rates in this market. So I think BC coming out of this sort of vacancy increase that we've seen this year, I think we're going to be well positioned to compete because of some of the softening rates that we're starting to see in the market.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, I'm just thinking about, we were just talking about COVID and about how there became a much stronger need for cold storage and food processing. The other thing that happened during COVID, obviously, is we saw, you know, escalating costs for building. We saw more delays. We saw challenges with skilled labor. Are you still seeing a lot of friction in the development process?
Yeah, that's a slippery slope to jump on because you don't want to perpetuate that comment, but it's a challenge in BC. I mean, Lower Mainland have got some of the longest lead times for permit processing, and we know that because we work in other municipalities. And that continues to be a challenge for everybody. It's not anything unique to us, but that is a challenge, and that's something that we have to communicate to our international clients that come from New York or London and try to explain to them why you can get, you know, a job done in New York City done in 3 months, and here it takes an extended period of time. So, yeah, that's a challenge, and that's what our real estate friends deal with all day long, is communicating that to the international market. Right. But it does affect us. As far as the trades go, there's a very good base of trades here in the Lower Mainland, and as our competition is as well. It's our responsibility to make sure that we are working with and treating them as partners. And if you have the right group, you can be very successful. If you have the wrong group or you have the wrong approach, you're gonna struggle to be competitive because it is a busy market, and there are lots of opportunities and options for all entrepreneurs throughout the trades to make a name for themselves.
And just thinking about maybe the industrial market and just the real estate market right now in general, obviously we're going into a period of rate cuts, 2 more Bank of Canada meetings before the end of the year, but we're also in a moment where, you know, there's some challenges with BC business in general, the threat of a recession or going into a further recession. Like, what's your thoughts on the biggest risk facing the market right now?
I think the biggest risk that we're facing in the market right now is just going to be dealing with the groups that are coming in, and a lot of the groups we're dealing with are up against expiries. There's going to be more product that they have the option to relocate. Originally, you know, the renewal scenario was a big scenario that was in play because there just wasn't the opportunity or leverage for tenants to create scenario for themselves where they could justify the cost of moving versus what a renewal rate would look like. But with that vacancy increase, I expect to see a lot more movement. And I think the challenge for us is going to be making sure that we're servicing the clients properly as they look toward moves. Like, we don't want groups coming to us and saying, guys, we're up against expiry in August of 2025. We found this facility. It looks great, but we need to be up and running. We need to be out of there by July 31st. Can we make it happen? Well, we're obviously going to say yes because we're entrepreneurial and we want to find ways to make things happen, but we have to be very careful with how we're managing that message and how we're dealing with our clients. Sometimes it's a lot easier to say, no, we will not be able to make that happen for an August 1st, 2025 based on, you know, an October 1st start date because we can't work through the permit process efficiently enough to ensure that we get that permit in time to do the construction and then get you out of that space. So it's having some of these tough conversations up front with the hope that you're not going to kill a deal, but I think it's better to have an honest conversation up front and figure out maybe ways to extend, or do you overhaul, or do you see if the landlord's open to an extension for 6 months? Think strategies like that, trying to address those strategies while not overstepping our ground and sticking our nose where it doesn't belong, I think is some of the biggest challenges that we're facing from a, you know, construction company that people are relying on, you know, help them get up and running as quickly as possible and just dealing with some of the challenges in this market. So I think that's the best way I can answer the question.
No, it makes a lot of sense. What about in terms of market trends? Are you seeing any trends that seem maybe newer to the market, or any areas of interest or any exciting areas where there seems to be a lot of excitement or movement in the market?
Well, I think the biggest trend I'm seeing in the market right now is the increased vacancy, which will create movement when timing allows for it. I think there's going to be a lot of great opportunities with some sublease space and some newer space coming on that is going to create movement, and it's going to attract groups that maybe were on the sidelines back into that market. And I think that's a really good opportunity for us. As far as types of groups that we've seen, our market is pretty much dominated by third-party logistics companies, large distribution companies, the Amazons of the world that have a position here. So those are the types of user groups that we're seeing. It'd be really exciting to start seeing some of that homegrown manufacturing business coming back here. And, you know, the smaller businesses that weren't able to find space to operate. So we're really hoping that some of this vacancy and downward pressure on rental rates will start to bring some of that homegrown manufacturing business back to Metro Vancouver.
So as we sort of, we're kind of getting towards the tail end of 2024 here, interest rates are coming off. It feels like the real estate market is kind of slowly, at least on the commercial side, pulling itself together. What's your outlook for 2025? Where do we go here? What's going to happen there as interest rates continue to fall? Does your industry continue to heat up?
Well, one of the big things I've learned is construction is always a bit of a lagger. So, you know, where things start to slow down in other markets because of, you know, the timeline for projects to complete, construction tends to tail behind. So, you know, if there is a slowdown that's happening in the economy, we're not seeing it, as Brett alluded to, because we're still quite busy. So we have to be very vigilant as we move into 2025, that we're making sure that, you know, the pipeline is full and projects are coming in. And so my prediction for 2025 is hopefully some of the slowdown that we've seen in Q2 of 2024 and Q3 of 2024 starts to alleviate. And we start seeing a lot more, you know, movement in the market, deals getting done and tenants moving, and that will create opportunity for ourselves as well as we move into 2025.
Well, guys, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. We, you know, and all your insight there and stuff like that. But before we let all of our guests go, we have a six pack of lighthearted questions we ask everybody before we go. Can we have you guys stick around for
three? How does it work?
Yeah, we'll ask one question and we'll give you each a second to chime in. How's that? So technically it's a six pack of questions, but we're gonna get 12 answers. How's that?
You got it. That works.
The six pack is powered by our good friends over at Red Point Law.
Red Point Law, Corey, Tim, Falco, Scott, and the team. These are great people with a wealth of experience when it comes to commercial closings and private lending. And I just want to say, Corey, not to cut you off, they have a perfect 5-star review on Google.
So for all your commercial legal needs, visit them at redpointlaw.ca with offices in Vancouver and now open in downtown Kelowna. All right, first question up here, guys. When you find the time, favorite vacation spot?
Mexico.
Oh, oh wow. That was do you
guys
in go? Sync.
Are you guys going there together?
We do, actually.
We happened to cross over a couple of times, and one time we got the families together on a boat, and it was a hell of a day.
Nice.
One not to be forgotten.
Book recommendation for our listeners?
The best book that I read recently... Oh, Brett, go ahead, because I'm trying to remember the actual name of the book.
Yeah. I personally haven't got one for you, but that's something I gotta work on.
Yeah, I'm with you. Audible helps.
Well, no, yeah. I've listened to about, since I started commuting to Langley, I've listened to about 60 books on Audible. But the one I was trying to, it was The Ride of a Lifetime is the one I was thinking of, and it was the
Robert Iger,
CEO of
Robert Eichner.
Rob Iger. That's
yeah,
right. Yeah.
Robert
Iger.
Yeah, that's one of the best, I think, business biographies. For those who don't know, he's the CEO of Disney. It's just all about the behind the scenes of how that whole thing kind of all came together and all the moves and the acquisitions and the business side of it. It's quite the book. I would second that one.
The thing that resonated me, without giving you a book review, the thing that did resonate me the most about that book was how much the personal relationships in getting like a Pixar and a Disney together, like the personal relationships that went into it. And I think, you know, relationships have driven my business as long as I've been in business, and I hold them in such high regard. And I think anyone who's looking to see how strong and where good strong relationships can take you, I think that's an excellent example.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I guess I should give you a book. The last book that I read, The Last Vacation of Extreme Ownership by Jekyll Will, I thought that was quite good. I don't know if that's really worth talking about as far as your listeners go, but it was really an ultimate guide to the fact that as an owner, as an employer, that you are 100% responsible for everything that happens in your business. And it was quite a good read as far as comparing his life in the military to business. Some giant leaps, but the message is the same across.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, not the first time we've had that one. So that's definitely a good book. I've had the chance to listen to myself. So guys, unfortunately, you've done something horribly wrong. You found yourself on death row. What is the last meal you're having before it's all said and done?
Mom's roast beef.
White spot, Western platter.
That's the most BC answer I think we've ever had. That's awesome.
On the menu. Mom's roast beef pretty good too, though. I'm not going to lie.
Mom's roast beef is good.
Yeah. Both good options.
Okay, you find yourself drunk at a karaoke bar and someone hands you a mic. What song are you singing?
Well, last night it was Hotel California.
I'm a hip guy, so probably Wheat Kings for me.
Oh, good.
Oh, nice one.
Good call. All right, guys, last question up here. This is kind of the bonus question here. Are the Canucks going to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Yes, no.
Oh, 50% right. 50-50. 50-50. Can't go wrong there. Can't go wrong. Wasn't two no's.
When will we learn?
You know what? Statistically, it's got to happen sometime.
Yeah, you think. I think when I saw something recently, it had like all the teams that haven't won the Stanley Cup yet. And there's like a whole bunch of expansion teams and teams that have moved. Yeah. And we're like kind of just still hanging in that pile of people that haven't been able to hoist the cup yet.
Oh, boy.
Stay close.
If Florida can do it, we can do it. I have faith.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew and Brett. If our listeners want to get in touch, or if anyone in the community wants to reach out to Rain City, how can they find out more about what you're up to?
Probably check out the website, www.raincityindustrial.com, and reach out to Brett or I. We're always happy to talk and talk about what's going on out there. And we like learning as well. So
amazing.
That's probably the best way to get in touch with us.
Awesome. Well, super insightful conversation. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye. There you have it, folks. Our interview with Brett and Andrew, Rain City Industrial.
Mexico. Both of them down in Mexico. I just got back from Mexico.
I know. Are you going for like your citizenship down there pretty soon?
You know what? My wife, her favorite city in the world, I think, is Mexico City. So any opportunity, it was her 40th birthday.
Okay.
So for the first time, I've never done this before. This was, it was tough. I had a secret trip planned and I had to keep it completely secret from her. She knew we were going somewhere, but didn't know what to pack for and everything else. So on the way to the airport, it was spoiled by the cab driver who said, okay, which airline? And I had to say Aero Mexico. And then she was like, oh my God, we're going to Mexico. So it was like,
psych, we're going to Edmonton.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the joke was we're going to Brandon, Manitoba the whole time. But anyways, yeah, no, it was, it's a good place to be, Mexico. And you know what, right now with the US dollar, the way it is.
Oh yeah. I can't imagine.
Like it's crazy. I'm not going to the US.
Oh, it's just nuts. Well, one thing too, but on that episode there, and I know I'll get an email about this, so I want to put this out there. If you kind of count the six pack of questions, we actually only got to five, but we actually did ask them the sixth question. We just didn't put it into the episode. What was your favorite band? Coincident, both Nickelback. Both Nickelback. What do you know?
There's going to be litigation after this.
They said Nickelback together faster than they said Mexico. So, you know, we just want to put it out there that you know, we just love it when our guests appreciate good music.
Oh, man. Well, what else do we have for the day, Corey? If people are interested in talking to you or anybody at William Wright about commercial real estate and what's going on in the market? Because right now, I feel like it's an interesting time to be monitoring the market. We're coming up at the end of the year, potentially two more rate cuts, potentially a jumbo rate cut. We could be looking at like 50 bips.
Well, I think what happened down south, I think depending on who you talk to, I was surprised. I thought 25 was baked in, no problem.
Yeah.
50, I think you could probably, you know, make a guess at it. But I think when it came out, a lot of people were maybe more surprised than anticipated.
Totally.
I think it opens the door for us up here that we can go down 50 basis points now and not get affected on our dollar. So Tim Macklin, if you're listening, let's go 50 bips.
I think there was an article today in Globe and Mail, sputtering Canadian economy fuels call for big rate cuts. So I think actually there's a strong possibility we're going to see 50. So,
yeah. Well, I think you got 50 overall. You know, in for sure this year.
Yeah.
75, I think, is definitely on the cards, a 50 and a 25.
Yeah.
And maybe there's an outside chance of a 50-50. 100 bips.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. That might be a bigger economy issue we have to talk about if we're in 100 bips back to back.
Well, it's funny because on our sister show, Vancouver Real Estate Podcast, We just had Brian Yu,
yes, the great chief episode. Economist. I was listening to that this morning on the Peloton.
Credit Union.
Yeah.
You listen to us on the Peloton. No wonder you're falling off.
No, I don't. It's every time you get to the sold plan and you actually say it with a thing. And I always thought you pre-recorded that. That's when I break my pedal. I'm like, this guy again is spot on.
Well, it's funny, but Brian Yu's thing was we don't want to see interest rates go back to, you know, one and a half or something. He's like, because then we're in real trouble. So I think hopefully this is a stabilizing moment, and hopefully the economy doesn't get beat up too bad in the process of lowering these rates. So we'll see what happens. But regardless, I think everybody's feeling pretty positive about the residential and commercial real estate markets here. So
absolutely.
Corey, how can people get in touch with you, or how can they find out more?
You can send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca. You can go to our website, williamwright.ca, and sign up for the latest and greatest news, or always call us 604-428-5255 at a Vancouver office. We'll put you in touch with the best broker in the province to help find you what you're looking for.
Fantastic. Well, have a great week, and we're back next week with another great episode.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Subscribe today.